Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
All we've done in this house is bench drink, plant pot plants. You and all our friends are smoking weed in the back. I'm not a big pothead, but I'm no square.
Oh, no.
Well, Mike, today's not the day to derail. Today's the day to celebrate.
I'm in the mood to derail, damn it.
I enrolled into mortuary science a few years of being in that path kind of changed with the incident that happened at the funeral home. And
did you say incident that happened at the funeral home?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about that?
Well, you brought it up. It wasn't in your
Mike, what happened is he said, nonsense, you'll be stone dead in 3 days.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
All right, here it is. I know there are many couples out there that are both working from home. I'm sure I'm not alone in that.
Right.
My wife technically has a workspace that she goes to. She's there now. But really, as far as when she's in the home, we share a workspace. I went out of the goodness of my heart and purchased her a printer. And it's in her office that is in our bedroom. And when I look at that printer, now I see blip, blip, blip. It's a smaller, hip printer, HP. And I went in there and I something's wrong with it. And I haven't been able to fix it, and I guess she hasn't been able to fix it. And I will come in here periodically when I'm getting my work done, which requires a bit of printing each and every day. And today, I got recipes. Carla, this is my workspace! Jesus Christ.
But she's a like on-the-go entrepreneur.
Yeah, we're running behind
today.
Yeah,
she doesn't have a time for your, you know, your printing preferences.
It's frustrating. This is my printer. Remember this printer? This printer is almost as old as the show.
That's true. Yeah, it's a workhorse.
Remember when we got this printer for the show? This big.
It's a commercial grade printer.
It is.
And I had a problem at the very beginning with the fan on the side of it that I fixed myself.
Yes.
That has been teetering for almost a decade. Yeah. But it still works.
Yeah.
So, I love my printer. Yeah. I love my printer.
But you know what? Too many recipes will break that fan.
Yeah. I got thick recipes. I guess she's doing the thing. We'll get to it in a second.
Right.
I want to bring the talking head in
here. Oh, very good.
Before we do this, okay? And really, if I haven't made it clear enough, I read these when I get them, all right? When we're on the show. That's why the talking head is always a surprise to me. Our talking head today, I recognize the name. There's a social media presence on this person.
Also, West Coast Choppers, if I recall. No?
No, different Tuttles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Joni Tuttle. Oscar. Joni Tuttle has been listening to us since 1995, thanks to her dad. No, see, and hi, Joni. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
See, someday it'll be. And please say hi to Joni Tuttle when she appears.
Yes, yes.
Instead of just Pony going, put her on.
I make that
showmanship.
Noise.
Uh-huh. What?
That's exactly what I say.
Can you ever do it right?
Well, no.
Well, Mike, today's not the day to derail. Today's the day to celebrate.
I'm in the mood to derail. Yeah. I'm in the mood to derail, damn it.
Yeah.
Joni's been listening to us since 19... whatever.
You stop.
Since 1995, thanks to her dad. She grew up in Elk Grove, California, near Sacramento. She now lives in Wheatland, California, north of Sactown. Do they grow anything up there?
Corn? No, I'm just kidding. Peaches and almonds and rice, basically.
Yeah, almond to table.
She got the corn joke, though. The wheat joke. I like that. That's why she listens to the show for so long. Her favorite voices are Larry King and Charlie.
Yeah.
She loves Oscar's take. Oh, then we will do it. We will do it tomorrow.
Good.
An Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
And credits her beautiful, glowing skin to a gal named Carla. Yay!
Oh, yeah.
She met her husband, Jeff, in 2002, and they bonded over the show. They are podcast listeners since day one. God bless you. Here's a fun fact. Jeff Tuttle is a drummer in three bands, a trio, a top 40 style band, and a Rush cover band. Oh my God, yeah. He's got to be good. He loves Neil Peart, and he's got to be good. I mean, you just can't do it. You can't do a Rush cover band if you're not an amazing drummer. I can't wait to hear. Well, that's cool. Joni has three kids. Bella Rose, what a beautiful name. Bella Rose is 22. Neil is 18, named after Peart. And Scarlett is 12. I love the names of your kids. Joni studied to be a funeral director. Sorry for laughing. And worked at a mortuary in college. Hey, that's fun. That's a party. As an assistant, she drove hearses, tested a casket, attended a virtual sky burial, witnessed cremations, and was chased by turkeys. At the parlor, the flower room was a hotbed for paranormal activity. Oh, I got, boy, this is already, you know, five segments here. Thanks to fate, now she balances life and death as she works as both a birth postpartum doula and as a death doula. That's heavy duty work. She will be moving to Tennessee in June, where she plans to enroll in criminal justice courses and become either a private investigator or work in CSI. Joni is obsessed with true crime and someday wants to be a reenactment actress on one of those nutty murder shows. She's a volunteer for Mothers Against Drunk Driving and enjoys music, hiking, paddleboarding, and trips to the coast. And she once got locked in a mausoleum. Intrigued? Here's Joni. Joni, my God, where to begin? And boy, you are a poster child for Carla there with that glowing skin that you have.
Oh,
I mean, my goodness. Now, are we... you're going to do this interview and then you're right into... work, I bet, right? Or
I have a postpartum family. They just had a baby on Valentine's Day. That was a 26-hour birth, and I'm gonna go and support them today as soon as I'm done here. So I am in my car, which typically is my office.
That is that is so fascinating. True for most people. With what people do. So I'll get to the heavy start right away. A death doula. I've never heard the term in all of my days on the planet.
I know Dua Lipa.
She's hot.
That's an artist. So I'm going to assume you help people, end of life people, with families and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically not hospice, but you're like the assistant to the hospice nurse. The way I got into that was obviously becoming a doula and realizing that not only do people need it during birth, but they need it during death as well. And I'm there to bridge that gap with the families, because a lot of times they're scared. They don't know what's happening. And, you know, same for the dying person. So you're there and it's like, you can do so many things. You can read, you could play music. If they're religious, you read scripture, you can massage their hands and honestly just get the family comfortable with the whole ordeal. Sometimes I have to help the families. They don't even know where to begin to start a service or funeral or call a funeral home. So I'm just kind of there to like make everything as comfortable as possible. It is quite the experience and I cry every single time. And I'm honored to be a part of that and that families trust me to be with them.
You know, I am so, and this is the month that I think of my mom because we lost her in the month of March. And I think about the, even at a facility, she was at a assisted living facility that had a nursing facility there. So she was taken care of at the end. But it still has a tendency to be a little ham-handed. And I'm not going to throw all the clergy members under the bus. But I'll throw some of the clergy members. It stuns me sometimes when you're dealing with people where, you know, these old priests that come in that are still not really comfortable with the situation. They just don't seem to be standing around. And then the person that helped at the end was the hospice nurse, who I think was early 20s. And she was brilliant. And she was informative and helpful. It is it's amazing how people still, even if they deal with it all the time, they still don't get it right. Do you find that to be the case?
Oh yeah. And I would say, and I hate to say this, and I'm sorry to all those chaplains out there, they try their best, but usually those are the cases that, you know, you have them run in and they don't know anything about the family and the hospice nurse, and we've gotten to know them and it's like they have become one of ours. And I had a sweet, sweet old lady. Her name was Oma. She was a German grandmother.
And she was just precious. And I fell in love with her. And I would sing to her, "You are my sunshine." And probably about a year later, I started having dreams and she would come to me and sing that song. And it's like, I just feel like, you know, there's more to the other side and the families here need to be comforted by that and understand, you know, this, for me anyways, this is not the end and that there is more, and to cherish this last few moments that you may have with them, and don't be afraid. You don't have to be scared.
It's so it's timely. I believe in the way things work, even on this show sometimes, that, you know, you talking about this and coming to me when I, you know, even right before the show this morning, my mind went to, you know, I lost my dad in February, right around the Super Bowl time. And I lost my mom the day after St. Patrick's Day, her death day. In fact, they had a misprint in the paper when they ran her obit. But yeah, it's just you know, she was so thoughtful, and I know you can relate to this. There are people that do this. And if you're a senior and, or you've got a, you know, you've got an opportunity, you know, that the end might be near. My mom did more legwork with my sister for her end of life with everything. And we tell a funny story about her going to the funeral home. And, you know, we're going to be cremated. We want this at the service. We want this. This is the church we're going to be going to, blah, blah. Got it all done. And they're literally walking out of the funeral parlor where my mom will be attended to. And my mom said something to my sister like, well, I'm glad that's over. Let's get sushi. I mean, it was that. And yeah. And she took it. She lifted it all. That's what she did right to the end of her life. She was such a giver. She lifted that responsibility off of everybody and have anything picked up. But a lot of people don't do that. And that's where, you know, you come in. And obviously you get a lot out of that kind of work, I would imagine.
I do. And I'm a huge advocate, you know, for letting other people know that it's never too early to plan your wishes, and you don't have to get it notarized or pay a lot of money. I mean, just write something down and give it to someone you love and trust and just be open about it. I think for me, growing up, I had a lot of death early in my life, and they were all very tragic. So I feel this kind of work has just something that's been embedded in me, the empathy card. I know Oscar doesn't like empaths, but
no, I just, you're, you
the
know,
soul is full of gadgets, Joni. That's what he does.
You seem like you, I mean, you would qualify for the empath, you know, you would get the OOOG empath card that says you can use the word. If it's my sister, she's just sensitive.
You know, you've been around. All right, you say you've been around. I don't want to go into any of your tragedies if you don't want to, but you say you were around it, and then you, as a career, you moved toward that. I'm curious about how that, why that took place.
It just kind of happened organically. I became a mom pretty young. I was 20 with my first daughter. I have one failed marriage, so I'm with you on that team, Mike. And kind of had to pick up my feet and figure out what I was going to do with life. Met my husband, and then we had our son. So I really just was a mom for like ever, and decided once they were in junior high, I had to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. What am I going to be? So I just happened to look at what classes were available, and I just felt the need to want to be in something, whether it was funeral homes, helping families. I really didn't know. And so I enrolled into mortuary science classes, and then got hired at the local funeral home during that. So it all just kind of happened organically. And then a few years of being in that path kind of changed with the incident that happened at the funeral home. And that put me on the doula path. So that's where I'm at now.
Did you say incident that happened at the funeral home?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about like that?
Is this like a body falling out of the hearse or something like that?
Oh,
is this an incident that involved? Well, you brought it up. It wasn't in your
Mike,
bio.
What happened is he said, nonsense, you'll be stone dead in 3 days.
So this happened while you were there? Is that something bad happened?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not bad. It was more or less that my stomach couldn't handle it. I'll start with this. We had a family, and it was a young decedent mom who had cancer. Her husband was deployed at the time, and her kids didn't know she was sick. She didn't want to tell anybody. She didn't want to burden them. They came home from school, and they found her. So that was, you know, heartbreaking in itself.
Oh,
but
God.
I got to take care of her and I washed her hair and I was able to, you know, clean her up. And there was just this connection that I had with her service. And her kids really wanted to put up her painting. She was a painter instead of a lot of flowers. And we did that and we honored her the best that we could. And it was just, it was beautiful, the connection that I had. Well, probably about maybe a week after that service, we had a sales worker there. And she claimed to be a clairvoyant medium and said she had something to tell me. And I'm like, okay, you know, I thought it was work related. Basically, it was that this mother came to her to tell her to let me know that this is not the path for me, that I'm good at what I do, but I have a higher calling. And it's to be with something that's more happy, more lighthearted. And
we get that same message on the show every day.
Well, I say it to you, Oscar.
Oscar gets emails from people all the time.
I just tell
Why
Oscar,
why are you working with him?
Be happier.
Why are you around him?
Is time he really that mean every day?
It's time to celebrate, they say.
I'm sorry, that continue, is, please.
Okay, so that's why, that's what happened.
Well, that's leading up to that. So that happens, and I'm just kind of taken aback and just felt this connection. Anyways, like 3 or 4 days later, we're going down into the prep room, which is the morgue where they prep bodies and we embalm. And I had to go down there to actually get another body to bring down for service. And I opened that door and the smell that emanated, I can't even explain to you what it was, but my vision was a big, big gal on a table who'd been passed for about 2 weeks.
Oh.
And it just rocked my world. And the 2 years that I was there, it was something I just couldn't deal. I was able to get the body down. I had to stop and go gag, compose myself.
Wow.
And then finish out the service. But I went home and went, there's my sign. I mean, I couldn't eat for 3 days after that. I was kind of a hot mess. It was a whole ordeal. So
kind of normal, I would think. A lot of people probably be having a tough time with that, and then you moved on for that. But wow, to be on that side of it, I think you just explained. I was going to ask you what was the toughest part, and I think that would probably be the toughest part, especially when they. I didn't realize they, you know, they leave people that you know. You think it usually happens within a week that everything's done and taken care of, but in that case it wasn't the way it worked.
Well, she wasn't found for 2 weeks. We had just gotten her, so it was one of those things. So
horrible. Well, now you're you know, you're on the it's babies and helping people. And you know, helping people at the end of their lives can be a joyous experiences at you know, as well. Even it's sad for the family, good that you're there to help. And now you're not getting enough of it, you're moving on to CSI criminal justice courses in Tennessee. What the hell's going on with this, Joni?
I don't know. I'll tell you, I was telling Rob, you know, I'm half an empty nester. My daughter's been out for about a year and a half, and my son just told us last night he's moving out this weekend a little earlier than we expected. So moving that far away, I have to be busy. My kids are my everything, and I still have one left at home. Rob told me yesterday, it's like my Linus, which is true. And I've got to stay busy, and I love what I do, but I am so enthralled with the whole crime scenes and the missing people. Yeah. And maybe I want to be a private investigator and help people find loved ones. Like I'm young enough. Why not do it all?
This is great.
And your hubby's moving with you, out there to Tennessee, right? Has he got a gig out there?
Yes, he's
unfortunately, yes.
Mike, yes, may I point ahead. Out that you are taking a criminal justice route in reverse? Like you started with the dead, and now you're going to figure out how they got there.
Yeah, that's just how this I is roll true. Everything backwards.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
Wow. But you know, so you mentioned your hubby. He's going to Tennessee with you, right? Yeah. And you said he's in. Is he a professional musician? Sounds like it, with three bands going.
So, of course, that was what his goal was to be. He's been playing since he was 12, self-taught, and he's just a natural at it. And then, unfortunately, he met me, and we had our son, and so things kind of had to go a different direction. But he's an incredible drummer. He's pretty known around this area with that Rush cover band called Rash. They play all over the place.
Cool.
So, yeah.
He has a full Neil Peart kit, right?
Yes. The chimes, the cowbell, you name it. I mean, it's I wish we're all packed up now, but our office was just, you know, it, Neil Peart, everything, and your favorite, Rob, Canadian flags everywhere. My husband thinks he's Canadian.
So what's going to happen to the Rush cover band when he goes to Tennessee?
They got to find a new guy. And yeah.
A Filipino gentleman.
No, that's Journey.
That's Journey, Oscar. Oh, sorry.
Gentlemen.
Well, listen, and one last question about death. Sorry, Joni. You once got, you said you, I think you already mentioned the paranormal stuff, right? That was there.
No, she didn't go into the flower room. No, this is fascinating stuff.
But you got locked in a mausoleum one time?
Yes, I can combine those two together.
Good. All right, good. Thank you for thinking about the show. We appreciate it.
So a part of being an assistant there is to always help the directors. And if somebody calls and they need coordinates of a plot, you have to go out and find it. Well, it was January. It was cold. We weren't allowed to take our phones with us to do anything. And I'm going inside the mausoleum, which is this little cement building. It's not huge, but it's, you know, big. And I'm in there trying to find the coordinate, and the freaking door slams shut and it locks. And it is dark. It is cold. It is dank. And I start panicking. I'm like, I'm going to die in a mausoleum at the funeral home. Like, what the hell? So after about 2 hours of screaming and yelling, somebody cared about me enough to come look for me. And actually, one of the grave diggers there, really sweet Russian guy, he heard me and he said he was scared to open the door.
There is body coming out of casket. We are very, very scared out there. There is body. Come back from dead. I will not open door when zombie is there on anything.
Boy, so, but did he finally get you out?
Yeah, he got me out because you have to unlock it from the outside. I was literally locked inside.
Wow.
So that happened. And then we had this room where I was in every day because we keep the flowers. It's cold in there. And you would walk in and we have different types of stands, different sizes for different floral arrangements. And they would be literally rearranged like poltergeists, like the chairs. You would come in and they'd be stacked and sideways. You would hear weird breathing in the corner of the room. And it was one of those things that we never went in there alone because you just had the chill all the time. And it was just really like, that was the only real eerie part of the funeral home was the flower room.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's a good thing you get out of that racket, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think it's crazy. I didn't ask you why Tennessee though. Why? And then I have something interesting to talk to you about why Tennessee?
Okay. We have family there and basically we've both been in California our whole lives and we love it here. It's expensive. He works three jobs. I work three jobs. Yeah. Fire season is now spring through fall. I'm a paddle boarder, a hiker, a kayaker, and trying to enjoy life here where we are in our climate. It's just too hard and it's too expensive. We just want to try something new. And we have tons of family. We have family in Florida. We have family in Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. So I think we're ready for something new to try.
You ready for something surprising? The O'Maras have taken a peek at Tennessee lately.
No, you haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
really?
Because it's getting. Yeah, I'm looking at Northern Virginia all over again down here.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that all the time. I mean, do I think that? And you look at Tennessee, and it's just a different world. And I don't know. There may be a Verbo weekend sometime just to go up there and see what it's like. You know, and see they're different parts. Yeah, I will absolutely.
And I'm hoping to see Luke Bryan so I can start stalking him and sending Rob weird pictures of like.
Sorry, Joni, we used to work in the funeral business.
Is there anybody you want to say hello to before we let you go?
Please, yes. Of course, my husband. We're celebrating 18 years on the 16th of March. Thank you.
Right.
My kids. And you guys, of course, you guys have been a wonderful distraction and it's been a really tough couple of years. And it's just, you guys bring joy every day and I just love you. But I love my NorCal people too. Alpino is the one who told me to write in. He said, I have a crazy life.
Yeah.
Just give it a shot.
Good call, Alpino.
The Hotts, the Schofields, the Kelseys, Todd Hess, all the NorCal Stephanies and Steffs. Oh. Christy Jordan, Aaron Peterson, I have a list. Mark Riddell, Jim Amato, Jeff Hancock and his beautiful girlfriend, Gina, Robin Ferguson, Sharon Bailey, Mike from Yuba. I don't know if you're still alive, but hey.
Mike from Yuba. I love that.
Rogers, Mark Soto, James Bradbook, Matt Bourne, and anybody else that I may have forgot. You guys have been great. You've become like family. So, and everybody that's been on the TMS fan club. It's been a rough year personally for me, and a lot of you guys have reached out and continued to check on me, and I just think that's awesome.
God bless you. And what a great story. Thank you. You were wonderful. You know, continue with that that wonderful journey that you're on, Joni. We appreciate that. And thanks for joining us on the Talking Head segment. That was fun. That was so much fun. We got a few minutes that I want to cover with Oscar, and this concerns the Shannon deal with hiding things. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Yes.
All right, we'll set it up now because I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
I think hiding is, we're soft selling it. The most important aspect of any marriage is trust, right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Sure. That would be a good tease right there.
What happens when that trust is broken?
Oh, no. Oh. Really?
Yes.
The trust circle? The circle of trust?
I don't think it's a circle.
Square? Rhombus?
It might be a straight line.
Now, when you talk about hiding or you talk about trust, Carla tends to squirrel things.
But is it mostly just food?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why does she squirrel the food?
So I don't get to it.
Because she thinks that you will eat it before anybody else gets the chance to eat it.
My son has different dietary guidelines than I do. He can occasionally have a treat. I found a treasure trove of Hershey's Kisses the other night that were in the back corner of the highest level of the pantry.
Like it happens. Like you need a chair to get at them?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yours is different, right?
Well, yeah, because when she hides stuff, she's really got your best interest in mind. At least in her mind.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay. All right. Do you think that's the case, Oscar?
This isn't food.
I have like a spider that's crawled on my larynx. I am having like a choking attack like you would. Like.
It's guilt.
Maybe.
I don't know what it is.
Is it a small piece of foil from a chocolate kiss? Yeah.
It's one of those little paper paper ribbons that come out of that.
That says Hershey's.
Most difficult candy to open in the world.
How do they make this so small?
But anyway, so any more information before we go to break?
This involves deceit, finances, and disappointment.
Deceit.
Deception.
Deceit and finances, that is...
and disappointment.
That's good.
The three
that's good
Ds.
Enough for me. What do you think? I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, all right, I'm all in.
When we come back, we will rearrange things, and we will do... I want to hear more about this.
I do, too.
When we come back, before I choke to death. On the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Do you need some sort of procedure, a maneuver,
no,
perhaps?
I'm fine. Don't you love this? It's usually you doing this.
No, you're fine. Why would I love this? How dare you?
Oh, wow. We're going to break. Go ahead. Don and Mike, go to break.
In the latter years of the 2000s, a crack team of disc jockeys were thrown off the air, innocent victims of a format flip. These men escaped to the darkest reaches of the internet. Still wanted by their fans, they survive as podcasters. If you need laughter and no one else can help, and you have a smartphone, maybe you can download The Mike O'Mara Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. It's The Mike O'Mara Show. www.mikeomarashow.com.
Yeah, of course, that's the 3-second promo. That always works out perfectly. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show. The first thing you need to know is that Catalina Crunch's cereal is delicious.
Yes.
The dark chocolate, the cinnamon toast, both great. Amazing, really, because it's zero sugar, keto friendly, and low carb. Most zero sugar food doesn't taste delicious, but Catalina Crunch really nailed this. Plus, it packs a whopping 11 grams of plant-based protein and 9 grams of fiber per serving. Taste for yourself why over 10,000 customers rate Catalina Crunch 5 stars. They've got 8 delicious flavors to choose from. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
I'm not a big breakfast guy, but I love some cereal at night, like as a dessert, and the dark chocolate with banana on it, forget about it. Mm-hmm. It is so good. And this is big to me. It stays crunchy in milk. It does. It holds up. It is great cereal.
You're going to love them all. Gluten-free, grain-free, non-GMO, only real clean ingredients, nothing artificial. See why Catalina Crunch cereal is the fastest growing cereal brand in America. Just go to catalinacrunch.com/TMOS for 15% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's catalinacrunch.com/TMOS. Not sure which flavor to start with? Try a variety pack.
Do it. Huh?
And check out their delicious cookies and snack mixes while you're at it. Again, that's catalinacrunch.com/TMOS for 15% off your first order, plus free shipping. All right, we teased a little bit with Oscar.
Yeah.
It's an interesting situation because, yes, trust is very, very important when it comes to any kind of relationship.
Yes.
I get that. I know how it works. Shannon has been, well, obviously, she's been testing the water with you, and what the hell is going on?
Well, this is, and you have to understand. Like, we're 5 years into our marriage, and if I'm going to put power rankings of what I don't want to be lied about is, let's go
lied to about, yes.
or deceived about. At least my this is 5 years in, right?
Right.
3-1. Number three, which I like, I could see it happening. I don't pay too much attention to her.
If the she third gets, thing that that you
yeah,
don't
three
want,
to one. Yeah, yeah.
Right, three to
three
one.
Being
right.
the you know, the I could probably get past one. It's going to take me a long time.
Understood.
If my wife, with all due respect to her, gets down by another dude, I get it. I do not pay my taxes enough. That's fine. Like, I could probably get to give that.
You
a
would be upset though.
I would be upset, but like, I'd probably get over it.
And in my case, I might be with you on that simply because of the, you know, the idea that, well, look at me.
I'm not thank paying you. My taxes.
And ditto.
Eventually, something has got to give, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
never heard that phrase before.
Proverbial. But, now, I paid the IRS. We're good. Overpay.
Deed.
Yeah. So, you haven't heard that before?
I'd never heard that. No.
That was a common phrase amongst men.
He has a lot of wonderful jargon. That's one of the wonderful things he brings to the
table. So, mm-hmm. the two would be.
Number two.
So the hits keep coming on Casey's Coast to Coast.
Number two would probably be like if something's up with my family and like there's an issue with them. Like if you're lying to me about my family, something's like grinding on you. Just tell me if there's an issue with my family. Let me know.
So withholding information.
For example, if there's someone that's been. If there's some rift.
Yes.
Or some slight.
Yes.
Or some. Maybe more serious relationship issue with a member of your family that your wife has not shared with you.
Correct,
that's a big deal.
Like if she was upset that you watched the Super Bowl in the bed like John and Yoko.
Which he did.
Right.
And then you get to number one. That's the most egregious.
If it affects finances.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Because that's a bridge that is tough to repair. Right?
As someone... and I have to be careful here.
Sure.
As someone who has lived through that, I would say that is part of a package. You know, there are two in your list.
Yes.
That first thing, and then the financial thing that can sometimes be related.
Okay.
Yes.
So if someone's not being forthright about, you know. Your life and you two are tied together with like a bank account and all this.
No, separate bank accounts.
You have separate bank accounts. That's in a way that can be. It was a long time coming for Carl and I to do that.
Yeah,
but it also represented an improvement in our area. We were kind of dancing to our own drummer.
Sure.
The fact that you have separate accounts might be problematic, but I'll shut up. It's your story.
Not to get too deep into it, we have a joint account where there was a big pact where each of us would put half of our earnings into that account, and that would be the house account.
Your account, your joint account.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I started putting half of my stuff into that account, and shockingly enough, she forgot to put her stuff into that account, and I said, well...
It's forgot like or neglected.
This works both ways, right?
Right.
I'm kind of living that. Yeah. Carla's got her own little thing going with her business.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it just kind of sits over there going, getting fatter. You know, meanwhile, you know, I'm not beating up the world here. So, I mean,
I didn't lean into it. If no one's, it can't be a two-way, it can't be a one-way street.
Right.
So, my issue today that I'm here to come to our wonderful TMOS family about is about, it's a 2 week long saga, which started about, I would say now 2.5 weeks ago.
Okay.
When Rob Spiewak comes to me and says, look, I know that you signed off on this new advertiser called Dadgrass. I just want to triple check that, like, you know what we're getting into, because we're thoughtful about our advertisers. And I said, I'd done the research. They're a legitimate company. I already took like roughly half a day to on a Saturday to figure out what's going on. And I said,
it's not our first time at the radio.
Yeah, we're going to sanction them.
Right.
So they're coming on. Like, we're giving them our blessing. I said, but we both, at least one of us has to try the product before we promote it to our audience.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I gotcha. This is good. So on occasion, I would walk by Rob's office. We talk about some of this stuff. I was like, hey, did that Dadgrass come in?
Mm-hmm.
And he would come to me like, hey, your Dadgrass should be arriving tomorrow.
Right.
Like, we're getting ahead of this because we never want to promote anything to our audience that we haven't tried.
No, and especially the new sponsor. You have to
correct.
Be careful.
Right. Correct.
You
know. Correct. So
slightly outside the box.
Rob says, we're good. My Dadgrass has arrived. I will try it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And packaging, everything looked
fantastic.
It's like Apple packaging.
Right.
He described to me, he's like, can't wait till you get it. You should get yours tomorrow.
Okay.
And I said, okay, great. So we can both try it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
This is almost now 10 days ago.
Sure.
And then before we go live on air, we'll have either we're going to go live with it because it's great, or we're not going to do it because it doesn't
work. Yeah, a true testimonial.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good.
And I know no one cares about this, but this is how we do business. We don't want to come to you with a product that we don't believe in.
Right.
Or we vet.
We do some vetting with our advertising.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Rob gives me a ring on Sunday. He goes, Dadgrass, two thumbs up. We're good to go.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, man. It's all right. Send me some too, please.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. I know that I have a thing, but you know, because Rob came to me initially, and I think I said I'm not ready. And then you know, you kind of you sold me, Rob Spiewak. You know,
so
Would you like?
Well,
the tincture?
I don't know how this story's going to end, but if it ends okay, send me the stuff.
Would you like the tincture?
You want the tincture? You want it?
I do.
Not to read ahead. You want it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good.
So I'm banging this event like daily drum. With Rob, hey, I haven't gotten my Dadgrass yet. Not because I'm some pothead. It's because I want to make sure that we get this right.
Yeah.
Money's and there is on a the
level
line.
And there's a level of curiosity as well.
No, not at all. I know they're paying.
You just want you want to know
freight.
Yeah.
I want to know we're good to go. Right?
Okay. All right.
So
all right. Very good.
And I remember we're back and forth, back and forth. I was like, hey man, I haven't gotten I would stop by his office, hey, I haven't gotten that yet. Not because I'm fiending for it. I'm no pothead.
Fine. No, but you get obsessive
box.
When
yeah.
it doesn't happen.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
How difficult was he, Rob? Was he difficult?
Not difficult. It's just that
sense of urgency.
There was urgency. Yeah. There's stuff we need to get done. We got to get this stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
So this happened 2 nights ago. So
actually, I was much more mellow about it than he was because I already got the product.
It's Monday. It's Monday, and I sent Dan O'Brien to our old office to see if somehow it got delivered there by accident. This is how obsessive I am.
Go over to the old office and see if the Dadgrass is there.
Listen, it's on Wisconsin Avenue near the cathedral.
Don
O'Brien.
So Dan scurries over. Don scurries over there, and he comes back with just some regular mail.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. And I'm
none grass.
It's 11:45, and I have a list. Before I go to bed every night, I make a list of things that need to be addressed, like in order the next day. It really does help take some anxiety off my mind of like what it'll be a successful day the next day if we get this done.
All right.
And at the top of my list, asterisk, Dadgrass. Where is it? Right. So I said, Shan, can you believe like this Dadgrass has not arrived yet? Like we get everything. Like, we get, how the hell is this missing?
Right.
Is there a trap? Like, we have to figure this out. Has Rob talked to you about this? He said, yeah, he mentioned it when you said yes, that you'd bring these people on.
Well, to be honest, when it came up, is Shannon came in and she says, who's sponsoring the Mike O'Mara show? What free stuff can I get?
There you go. They have their own.
And I said, well, I mean, if I can get you cereal.
They do their own shtick. I don't know. They have their own friendship.
All right.
So, but I want the business side. I want to figure out like, okay, what's going on here? And then she says, oh, that arrived almost 2 weeks ago.
This is all news to me. This is all news to me.
There you go. She gets a... There you go. Ta-da.
She said... I said, what? She goes, yes. I squirreled it away. I said, why would you squirrel it away? You know we have a system where we check off what's come in. Like, this is a system.
Did she like it?
And she said, well...
Did she try it first?
No, she said, well, I thought you wouldn't approve. And I said, approve? All we've done in this house is binge drink... like plant pot plants. You and all our friends are smoking weed in the back. I'm not a big pothead, but I'm no square.
I'm no square.
What? Where is the background that Shannon comes from? Is she a pothead fucker?
Well, I don't know, but this has made me think who I've married. What's happening here?
But her background. I squirreled it away.
Carla. Being younger than me, Carla is not a regular partaker, but she's always fascinated by it. Most recently at Thanksgiving, and I believe she was talking to one of the neighbors about gummies.
Gummies. Yeah.
And I think she might have gummies in her possession.
I bet. And I'm fine with it. I said, Shannon, you're hiding things like I'm your father.
Yeah.
I was like, that is one category we should discuss maybe later in therapy. But this is business. There's a certain level of now anxiety I've been going through. And I remember at one point,
Rob, you know what would be good for that anxiety?
Have you asked Shannon? And I said, Shannon tells me everything that comes in.
Yeah.
Apparently not. Shannon said she thought I was going to throw it away.
All right, here's the big question.
Yeah.
So she tells him she's had it in the house for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Is the packaging, has it been opened? Has
it been touched? Like a parent, will you please bring me the package?
Here we go.
Yeah. And she scurries upstairs where I imagine she's like hiding everything else. And then I hear like rustling. And then she runs down the steps. Santos is following her. Like, what's going on?
Moves all the stuff to the side of her jewelry box where she's hidden it at the bottom of.
And then she presents me. You know the scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High when the guy wants the burger back? He wants a refund for his burger.
Yeah.
That he's
eating. Exactly. Yeah.
She presents
great
me.
Great analogy. She's, that all you need.
It's 3/4 gone.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah, what a nice endorsement that is. 3/4 gone. That is awesome.
I said, did you have a party?
That's the best part of the story right there. I love this.
She goes, no, this is really good stuff.
Yeah.
It's Oscar's wife grass.
Yeah.
Not dad grass.
They have mom grass.
There's also,
too.
There is another plant called mom grass. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, there's a mom grass.
There is indeed.
Send me that too.
And I said, I'm no square. I would have done this with you. We could have, for work.
Yeah. Party.
So she's loved it.
Yeah. And I said, when did you do this? This is like, this is a party's worth. And she said, do you remember on Saturday when you went and like I was looking for a new suit and like, and I said, take your time. Like she wrote in the text, take your time. She goes, it's because I was smoking weed in the backyard with Santos.
It's not weed.
It's not.
I'm sorry. Smoking dad grass.
Dad grass.
Smoking
dad grass. When she said, take your time, did it appear that she was typing for a long time?
She's never said, take your time. She's always like, you know, my mom calls her mi sombra, my shadow. She's everywhere. She's like, everywhere if I'm there, she's there.
Right, right, right.
That's why.
Rob, have you gone? How much of your package have you gone through?
I've had two joints.
And all right, that's kind of normal.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, those joints are cannons.
They are. Like, cannons. Trust me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I stepped outside and said, now we got to try it together.
Yeah.
Now we got to eat it. Now we got to eat the pot. The CBD.
That's right. That Dodgers.
So you fire up in the backyard?
Well, I tried to, Mike, but she had smoked all the spliffs. All I had was the tincture.
Did you try the tincture?
Yes, and I'm here to tell you, and I should have a caveat.
We have a new sponsor. We have a spot coming up.
We do?
I didn't
realize that. Thank you.
So this is actually working quite well.
So you get a plethora of pinatas, as I like to say. You get a bunch of different pre-roll joints.
And they send matches, which I love.
Yes. And then you get a little vial, which looks like an eyedropper that they call a tincture.
Yeah.
And I've never done anything like this before, where you have to put, and read the instructions.
Please.
Put the dropper under your tongue for 15 seconds in it, like, and then once it absorbs, then it's supposed to get you. Like, it's supposed to, its effects are supposed to come along. I did half a little
dose.
Eyedropper dose. And I had the best night's sleep.
It is amazing.
I've had in months.
And aren't you so centered right before you go to sleep?
Oh my God, it was great. Great.
Yeah.
With zero munchies.
Yeah.
Send this right out to the Dadgrass people. Shannon, yeah, took it all for yourself. Yeah, sorry. Well, maybe a little more investigating on that. I got to
find what else is in that stash.
The magic stash?
The magic stash.
18 man, pairs of awesome. Rothy's shoes just waiting for you.
Fully endorsed. Dadgrass.
It's like an infomercial. Fantastic. We'll take a break and come back with the homepage right here. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm trying not to get upset.
Mike, I did not miss that insult either. I heard it.
I'm a CEO. Nothing has to do with our show. We're just a little early morning pain in the ass that he has to get through. All right, why aren't you working for me?
Glad you're so goddamn happy about it.
La, la, la.
What about our show? What about guests? Enjoy 2022 talking to each other.
I still love you.
You're not the hot chick anymore. You're the crazy chick.
You bastard.
Always remember, to have a friend, you must be a friend.
The Mike O'Mara Show, where your friends are.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, we're telling you about it. Dadgrass, I skipped ahead in the spots today.
Good, thank you.
Mellower vibes are just a drop or a toke away with Dadgrass. Dadgrass will take you back to a time when music was on vinyl, Delta was an airline, and hipsters were a style of jeans. Sit back, light up, and chill out the old-fashioned way. Sweet dreams are made of CBD. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. And if you want a toke without the smoke, Dadgrass also has a CBD tincture made with the same high-quality hemp. It's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. Chill out without getting stoned. It's like having a glass of wine instead of the whole bottle. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood.
It's all so great for springtime, Mike, because you're spending more time outside.
All right, calm down. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Right now, Dadgrass is offering TMOS listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. They're going to be with us for a long time. I know it already.
Yeah.
Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. Remember, man. Did you put that in there, remember, man?
I love it. I love it.
Remember, man. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS, Rob.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web,
at one point, I told Shannon, digital device, I don't know who I married.
What you need to know. This is the homepage.
Yeah, this is the homepage. I'm rewinding my commercials now.
You're good.
That's
fine.
What I'm
you're
doing.
Fine.
Because,
you're fine.
I'm fine. I know everything's A-okay and everything's fine. Play this thing, will you? Okay.
Yeah.
There it is. First story. Thank you very much. A career search website. It's called Zipia.
Zippy.
They posted a list of each state's most famous movie star. But the thing that makes this story funny is they kind of messed it up.
How?
There are a few that are hard to debate. James Dean from Indiana. Biggest movie star from
Indiana. I would say that's a pretty good choice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg from Massachusetts.
Yes.
You got Matt Damon, though. You know,
Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck, too. Might be a three-way tie on that one, but they put Mark Wahlberg down. And despite how crowded the field must be in California, hard to argue their pick, Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's a biggie. It's a biggie.
Yeah. That's a biggie. Yeah. That's a biggie. But there are some entries on the list that are, as the kids like to say, whack.
Oh, man, I hate when it's whack.
Here are a few of the questionable choices. Arkansas, they chose Wes Bentley.
I know not this Wes Bentley.
I don't either. They could have chosen Mary Steenburgen or Billy Bob Thornton as the biggest movie star.
If you had to go between Thornton or Steenburgen, who would you go with?
Billy Bob Thornton.
I would too.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Connecticut, they chose Justin Long.
Yeah, yeah, Justin Long. Yeah, yeah.
He's famous. Funny. Super famous. Funny, yeah. Super
Justin Long. White guy. They could have chosen Ernest Borgnine, Glenn Close, Brian Dennehy, Paul Giamatti, Catherine Hepburn,
Paul Giamatti,
Christopher
probably.
Lloyd, Hepburn. Robert Mitchum, Meg Ryan, several others. Hepburn. Tons from Connecticut.
Hepburn has like the most female Oscars of anyone else, so she wins by default, I think, Catherine Hepburn.
Let's go on. Louisiana, they chose Jared Leto.
Leto.
I went to middle school with him.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Mike, he did.
Well, how did you go to middle school if he's from Louisiana?
Grew up in McLean.
He grew up in McLean?
Mm-hmm. He went to Longfellow.
Well, it says here he's from Louisiana.
But I think he was born in Louisiana and then moved to McLean.
You sure it wasn't a Jared Leto lookalike?
I'm sure.
Leto's?
Yeah, he doesn't cut corners.
No.
They could have chosen Reese Witherspoon or Tyler Perry.
No, Leto is a blockbuster.
Yeah, right? Oscar winner.
All right,
yeah.
That's good. In Maryland, right near you, Maryland.
Hello.
Canada, they chose Penn Badgley.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. They could have chosen Julie Bowen or Jada Pinkett Smith. Is that all you have in Maryland? That's stunning to me.
Julie Bowen and Jada Pinkett Smith both have nice runways.
Yeah, Jada pretty good. Yeah,
I like the
Missouri. They chose Evan Peters from American Horror Story.
Yeah, he's a big.
Here's the choice they had: John Goodman, Don Cheadle, Dick Van Dyke, John Hamm, Don Johnson, and too many more to name.
That's
from Missouri.
All those are better.
Yeah, it's just a weird list.
We were in a production, and Don Cheadle was so prickly for one of these. You know, I'm not going to mention the client. I'll be professional. But we were done, and somebody from their other team said, "Don Cheadle is a dick."
Oh no! Really?
It was so great. Wow.
I would say, Mike, just from memory, I would say that for Virginia, it would probably be Warren Beatty or Shirley MacLaine.
I don't have Virginia. I have West Virginia.
Oh.
West Virginia chose Josh Stewart. Who the hell is Josh Stewart?
You know, from The Daily Show.
That's Jon Stewart.
He's my big country artist.
These are movie stars.
Well, now the guys they say they could have chosen suck, too.
Who?
John Corbett.
Oh, from Northern Exposure.
Jennifer Garner is from West Virginia.
I think you're right.
Garner.
I thought she was a gardener.
James Gardner.
Brad Dourif.
Dourif?
He's the Dourif. D-O, not Dourif on golf, D-O-U-R-I-F. He's the voice of Chucky. This whole list sucks. Utah, they chose Patrick Fugit. Who are these? Who are these people?
I don't know these people.
They could have gone with Roseanne or James Woods.
I think we're being had here. This is how lists get, like, let's flip the list and then get people pissed.
I shouldn't have led with that. I agree with you.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
My sincere apologies to the listeners of this program.
Mike, I'll take a quick moment, and since we're naming names, it was my wife's birthday a couple days ago, so happy birthday to Shannon.
Happy birthday, Shannon.
And today is Charlie Burney's birthday, so happy birthday to Charlie Burney.
Happy birthday, Charlie Burney. That's wonderful. Yes.
What did
wonderful
Shannon do people. To celebrate her birthday?
She got dadgrass.
Well, I'm having the bus birthday.
I'm not blowing out candles.
People have made fools of themselves on Wheel of Fortune. I am a regular viewer of the Wheel. I watch it now almost routinely. That's how boring my life is.
Is it because of Jeopardy? Because it leads into Jeopardy
it
now,
might
right?
be, but it's just our thing, and Michael's into it now.
Is he good at it?
It's good for his baby. He's great. He's fun. Well, he's just learning. They're two wonderful shows. That's the longevity. You watch it with the family because it's cool. Now, last night was a night, and I didn't even look. I just said, Jesus, what's wrong? And I went to bed. I didn't make note of it, but it made the news. Last night, all three contestants put on a display for the ages, and now I guess I should have recognized that it was a bigger deal than when I watched it. But I watched it when they aired it last night. The category phrase was phrase, and the answer was another feather in your cap.
Okay,
and they get almost all the letters, and I'm watching this, and it's just like duh. With almost all the letters filled in, it still took the three contestants a combined 9 turns of the wheel to solve it.
Oh, really?
One woman made 3 wrong guesses, saying that the last word was hat, another feather in your hat, another feather in your lap, and another feather in your map.
Now, hat is almost acceptable.
Almost. Yeah. Another guy asked for 2 wrong letters.
a G and a D, and then went bankrupt. And the third guy hit bankrupt and lose a turn, but he was finally able to solve it with his third chance. Hey, Wheel, look, I'm a regular viewer, all right? And I know you've been around since the dinosaurs, but it's time to make that game a little easier on the contestants, all right?
Well, don't
maybe
you
remove
think...
a bankrupt or a lose your turn.
And also,
it's
don't
ridiculous.
You think they've junked it up too much? Originally,
yes.
It was a simplistic. I don't want to go back to when they have to buy prizes at the end of the round.
Mm-hmm. That,
when they
that
used to
sucked
do,
too.
That
they improved
sucked.
It when they changed
but
that.
But also, there's just so much going on with the jump in and take a spin
yeah,
and all the.
Doesn't Pat, isn't he notoriously cheap? He doesn't want to give away his money.
Oh, Pat's a
it
jerk.
It seems like that when you watch it. Like his delight is when they don't get the prize puzzle at the end and he says, oh, there's $13,000 that I get to keep. He seems
sound.
Like he's a bitter.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you'd done that gig. I mean, for 150 years, it's stunning to watch it. But
the other big change is 2015 is when they put in the robot Vanna, right?
The animatronic
I thought they
Vanna.
Cloned her.
She still does that robot walk.
She does.
Right at the beginning of the show. How long does it take you to wind down after work and stop thinking about your job? A new poll was done in England.
England can kiss my ass.
Like you. The average person doesn't do it until about 6:22 p.m. One reason a lot of us keep thinking about work on our commute or make work calls we didn't get to, 51% said they also check their work email while off the clock. Carla works till it's all night.
Mm-hmm.
All night doing her thing.
That's what
that's
it takes.
That's probably why she's
successful. That's what it takes.
42% sometimes I'm not burdened with the same problem. Thank you. So what's our favorite
England
way
didn't
to
ask
unwind?
You?
After, they didn't ask me. They polled Mike O'Mara. The answer was 10:33.
Well, actually, the thing is they polled Mike O'Mara at 6:30. He didn't answer.
He got on the phone. It was very curt.
Well, you were work-life what? Balance before work-life balance was a thing.
That's right.
Yes. Yes, I was. Thank you for that. So what's our favorite way to unwind after work? Well, watching TV. Of course, the number one answer. Mm. Watching the idiots on Wheel of Fortune. That's
and number
how that works,
two
guys.
Is Dadgrass.
Yeah, Dadgrass. Thank you. A mom in Brazil woke up at 5:30 Saturday morning, and her 9-year-old son, Emmanuel, was still sleeping in bed. But when she checked again at 7:30, he was gone.
He's gone.
So she freaked out, but don't worry. He wasn't kidnapped. She called the cops, and they started looking for him, but they couldn't find him because he was already more than 1,000 miles away. It turned out that he'd snuck out of the house, made his way to a nearby airport, boarded a flight without being noticed, and flew to another city in Brazil almost 1,700 miles away. Wow, how old is he here? Let me see, 9 years old. Oh, I got that to look forward to. Let's see, his mom was panicked all day until an employee of the airline called around 10 p.m. and told her Emmanuel was fine. It turned out he wanted to visit some family members who lived across the country, and he'd been planning it.
Planning
he even
it.
Googled the phrase, how to get on an airplane unnoticed.
Smart kid.
Wow. Authorities are still trying to figure out how he managed to sneak in. The airline flew him back to the airport. He flew out of the next... the airline flew him out of the airport he flew out of the next day.
Okay.
Here's sentence structure. So he's back home now. Emmanuel
good.
Is. So
excellent.
Congratulations, Emmanuel. That's that's just wonderful.
Meanwhile, lovely Michael called you, Dad, I'm in Orlando.
Yeah. Boy, this is great. The kid's paradise. Now a little something. Two police officers in your state, Rob.
Yeah.
Of Virginia were arresting a guy for a domestic assault last month when he tried to run. He took off on foot, and they started chasing him through a field. It happened near Martinsville. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, it's the southern part of the state, I believe.
Then out of nowhere, a farm animal joined in. One of the cops was running through the field trying to catch the guy when a goat from a neighboring farm decided to chase him, too. It ran past the cop, made it through a fence, kept gaining on the guy, and chased him into a wooded area. The cop actually stopped for a second when he saw the goat. Like he just needed to process what was happening because it was so weird. The goat then helped flush the guy out of the woods, and he got arrested. Now people online want the police to give the goat an official commendation for helping. When asked about the chase, the goat said he was
happy to do it.
No, when asked about the chase, the goat said, "Let's go, Cavs." When asked about the chase, the goat said, "Are you going to eat that trash?" Anyway, sorry, that's three for the price of one.
We another take a break. Amaretto.
Could I please? I'm goat. Yes, what a wonderful show. I think he still listens. Yeah. We'll be right back.
You know how everyone always says that the best things in life are free? Well, that's just communism infiltrating American culture. In America, we pay for things, because if we don't, the commies are going to replace every American flag with the hammer and sickle.
Well, do you, pretty close.
Our loyal listener, want your independent wealth stolen by Soviet ideals? I think not. So buy the Mike O'Mara bonus show.
Timely.
Pay for your entertainment, like a red-blooded American should. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dahlia. Appreciate that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This portion of our program is brought to you by Freshly. Food that's fast doesn't have to be fast food. Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work. Their meals are designed by nutritionists. And I know, Oscar, you love Freshly just about as much as anybody, right?
Yes. It changed my life. It's bridged, for the past 3 years, has bridged my nutrition and actual fresh factor, where I'm not just eating chips. I have a fresh meal for me on demand when I want.
And Shannon doesn't hide them from you.
She does not hide them.
She does not
hide them. The meals are designed by nutritionists, cooked by chefs, then delivered fresh to your door. Other meal deliveries need to be prepped and cooked, but Freshly is ready to eat in 3 minutes. No one wants to spend an hour cooking dinner after a rough day at work or an infuriating commute, so skip the grocery store shopping and dirty dishes. Your Freshly meals arrive cooked and fresh every single week. You can use the Freshly website or app to find meals that fit your lifestyle with plans that work for you, people, for your dietary needs, preferences, your tastes, and your family size. Oscar loves Freshly. Stop stressing about dinner right now. Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/TMOS. That's $40 off. Freshly.com/TMOS. All right, welcome back to the show. Oh, my God. I have to tell you this. Old Joe, I love him. I love him, love him, love him, but a little hard to watch sometimes. I root for him. I don't want him to do the... Look, I don't think that, like so many people say, he has cognitive issues. I don't. He has had a stutter forever.
His life.
He has that. So he will plow through some some copy, excuse me, when he's reading the State of the Union address, but he will occasionally get the...
Mike, and maybe I have a soft spot for this man and this country, because for some time...
Well, we embraced you.
Because you're a super patriot.
Think about it. I'm the only one at this table that a dream of his and his family's was to be naturalized, be a naturalized citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've left another country... And we went through the legal immigration process, and now I am a citizen.
Yes.
So I get.
I'm a Joe guy.
Yes, but think about the way you this, and this is what I'm. I don't expect that man to come out and do a cut a promo like The Rock does.
I know, he'll but never I don't. Do that. I know it's frustrating though, because I root for him, and it makes me. When I'm watching him, first of all, let me just say this: everything he said and the way he framed it and the policies and all that, I'm on board. I think they've got a really, really great team of smart people that are handling this situation. I think the proof is in the pudding. Mm-hmm. I think you're seeing the way it's working right now. Old Pooty Poot is not having that easy race to Kyiv that he thought he would. I like everything that's being done. What I'm telling you is, because I like him so much, I feel the performance anxiety as a fan. That's frustrating for me when he'll sit there and he goes, and I just want to say that we...
Yeah, but the average American person is not going to take it in context that it's a man fighting a stutter, especially when they have those soundbite moments that are pre-designed in the State of the Union address.
And that's when he
hits the brick wall. And it's heartbreaking.
When are we going to be happy? And I'm just going to ask you this, and you can give me your honest answer. When we had the former president in power, he would come up and he would spout off scary scenarios, scary initiatives.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have a guy that comes up that we all know has a speech impediment. that actually has substance behind his words and makes you feel proud, especially in the first 30 minutes, to be an American again.
I'll have
sort of unity in this country.
I know,
for the first time.
Yeah. You're making me feel horrible. You're making me feel... No,
but Mike,
right.
But I understand what you're saying too, Mike. You want him...
I'm a fan.
As am I. And you want him to present better. You want him to present better. You root for him.
I probably, due to the fact that I read so much copy for what I do for a living.
You're professional.
All the time, it kills me when I see the talking heads on the news... and not the people that are on the battlefield. Those people are special. But I'm talking about any talking head that will take a moment to have that ebbity. It just drives me kind of nuts, and it makes me feel uneasy. Everything he did say, I loved what he had to say. I loved the substance, but the style caused me anxiety.
And when you ask Oscar,
and now
when
you're
are we
making me
be...
feel like I'm an anti-Biden guy, and I'm
not. You're not. And
I don't think it's cognitive. I think it's a stutter that he's had forever.
This speech wasn't going to change anyone's minds. It just wasn't.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. And then even during the Obama days, when you've got like the order of orders out there, they would cut him in half after the Republican.
Well, there was heckling, and they act like children, and it's ridiculous. And it wasn't always like that. There was more decorum back in the day, and I hate it now when you see, I'm going to sit here and smirk and just be that. You know, grow up. Show a little respect. Our guy got the gig, and show some respect.
And I had a question for you, Mike.
I hate it on both sides when they do that, to be honest with you.
I know that they were excited and supportive, but has there ever been that much chatter between the vice president and the speaker behind the president during the speech? It seemed like they were having conversations.
I think there was a little bit of that going on. Yeah, but there was a lot. It was a little rowdy.
They're usually at opposite ends.
Yeah, but still.
So
I mean,
you're not talking to...
It seemed to me disrespectful.
Can I give you the best part, my favorite part of the entire State of the Union address? That gorgeous little kid, the cute as a button kid with diabetes, type 1 diabetes, when he was talking about the price of insulin, that kid was out of central casting. What a one, and enjoying every minute of it. I still see that kid. So, you know, being a father of a similar age kid, they're just special to be around. There's an energy they have. It's great.
The highlights were the what seemed to be a united front in support of Ukraine.
Yes.
The highlight for me was the highlight of the young boy, but also the moonshot for a cure for cancer.
He's, you know, that's been his anthem since he took office, since he lost his son. And there's one analysis of that State of the Union that came through loud and clear. There was a sincerity to him. I don't think this man needs to BS it. I don't think he does. Is he a politician? Of course he's a politician. They're all, to a degree, they all embellish. They all exaggerate to a degree. But from where we've come from, it was nice to see. And when you think about what we're up against right now, and what more importantly, the Ukrainian people are up against, and the fact that the unified front that was put together by the United States has resulted in these sanctions already.
Yes.
Causing pain in Putin's Russia. Who knows what's going to happen? You know, there is no end game for them. Yeah. Well, I heard what the end game is really for the Russians is they go in and they do what they did in Chechnya, where they just, they bomb out buildings and they just bomb the non-soldier people out of the cities and just lay siege to it. There is no end game. It's just a mess. It's a hot, dirty
But
mess.
To speak to what Oscar said is, when are we going to be happy? I think what needs to be, and I think, Mike, we're on the same page here. I think we're both very happy. We just want better for him. We want him to present better.
I root for him.
Yeah, I do too.
Let's game this out. And you all you have further context here because you've been engaged longer than I have.
Mike's been engaged a lot of times.
What? What do you think would have happened if he came out and he somehow had zero stammers and just killed it and crushed the speech? They would find something else to drag him down about.
Yeah, they would. They would.
This is just simple Simon, low-hanging fruit, and I think we were all better than this because we knew what we were going to get. We got what we got. I thought he did great for what tools he was given.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to, right? and to sit there at the beginning and feel like this is finally a State of the Union where I'm not scared.
Yeah. Now, that's true. And imagine what he would sound like without a prompter. I'm sorry. That's just a stutter joke. I have to. Sometimes I got to lighten the mood. Just a little bit, you know? I'm sorry. You know, I do that for my kid. I do Porky Pig. We have Looney Tunes on every morning. And by the way, the comedy anchor of the Looney Tunes franchise is one Daffy Duck.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Daffy Duck is the anchor, the comedy anchor.
Well, that's why he pairs well like a wine. He pairs well with Bugs. He pairs well
with Bugs, who is really more of a schemer.
Yeah.
And Daffy. You know? But then you have Porky, you know, and a wonderful music video of Elmer Fudd eating grilled cheese that I could watch again and again and again.
A music video?
Yeah, it's a little music video. I don't know when they did these Looney Tunes. They are not necessarily PC. They're not the old ones back from the day they're new voices, but they are definitely less PC. Some of the women, the way they're dressed in these Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fan. Pony would love it.
Yeah. Has Michael seen the one where Daffy Duck goes up against the artist, where the animator actually draws around him? It's called Duck Amuck. Has he ever seen that one? Google that on YouTube. I'll send you the link.
It's not safe for work.
No, it is absolutely safe for work. But it's actually, he's actually battling the cartoonist that's drawing around him. Oh. It's very, very funny.
Oh, wow.
If he likes Daffy, he'll love it.
I'm glad you like that, Kelvin. We'll take a break here and
don't know what that means. Just call him a nerd.
I know. Isn't Kelvin the gemstone? That's the oldest one. Toilet baby.
Look at the pecs.
We'll take a break. God, what's wrong with my lungs today? We'll be back with more fun and more. Oh, yeah, the sound thing.
Going to town, up. Yeah. That's right.
Yes, down. K-Star Country 99.7.
KTMOS Country, driving you loco on the Cattle Drive to Work Show. Good morning, America. It's me, Chuck Wagon, on Spiewak County's Best Country, playing the country hits while you're spraying your stinky pits. Have you ever thought about being a KTMOS talking head? Well, have you? Well, partner, it's easy to do. Just drop us a note at rob@mikeomaraShow.com. That's Rob with two B's, doodah. Tell us why you'd be a great talking head, and be sure to include your phone number. And don't forget your name. Oh, what's my name? Fuck you, that's my name. Here's Buck Owens.
You don't know me, but you don't like me.
Thank you very much. Hey, Twitch, hope you're doing well in California. I hope you still do promos for us. Hey, it was once a man by the name of John Allen Paulos.
Yes.
Who said, the only certainty in the world is uncertainty. With everything happening in the world today, it seems like he was correct. However, there are two things that you can be certain of. The Fed is going to raise rates on March 16th, and my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial are the only mortgage company that you should reach out to if you're looking to purchase or refinance. The low rate window is closing fast, and if you're looking to take cash out for any reason, like saving money, enjoying the tax deductibility, the time to act is now. For those looking to purchase a new home, why not call today and see what they can do for you? With their 100% satisfaction guarantee, Cornerstone First Financial is certain to win your business. Whether a purchase or refinance, call Cornerstone First Financial, the number one choice of the Mike O'Mara Show listener, and now licensed in 41 states. So even if you tried them before, try them again. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. We love them and you will too, people.
What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Sound Town.
House of Gucci, have you seen it?
I have not because I've heard bad reviews of it, actually.
The people are hating because it's a fun, like really fast-paced film. You're going to love it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I've got a lot of stuff to cover, but, you know, and by the way, you guys brought me, and thank you from the bottom of my heart, for your push towards the gemstones.
You dragged your feet on that, but it is great.
I dragged my feet on it, and I'll tell you, if you want a TV finale that gives you what you want, you got it with that finale.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
And our favorite guy. Just to read. Right in the middle of it. You have to read. All right.
So I think they're doing a renewed push on Gucci for some reason. So they asked Salma.
It came back out on, you can rent it now.
Yeah, okay. So Salma Hayek, they said, what was her favorite part of shooting it? And I love this tape. She said she loved kissing Lady Gaga.
The day that Gaga kissed me, I have to say, it was pretty fun because it was completely unexpected. And she's a genius. And she's a good kisser. Not in the script. And I reacted like the character. How the character would react. But she was a bold woman that did unexpected things.
Right. Not in the script, the kiss. They just decided it was in character. So, yeah, let's go ahead and kiss. I think that's nice.
Yeah, I think Smooch. Everybody kind of likes that. Yeah,
smoochy time.
I think nothing wrong with that. So this was going viral yesterday. An Australian lady approached her mother and asked how many cookies she'd eaten because they were marijuana cookies.
Ooh.
Now, the mother at the front, I'm sorry, I'm like, I have to apologize. The source video has a little music behind it. So I apologize for that. But when she realizes that she's had pot cookies at first, the mom is upset. Then there's a smash cut to the mom not being upset. When you hear her laughing, you should know she's outside swinging a mop. Okay, that's just all you need to
know. How many of those have you had?
A couple.
What? How many exactly have you had?
Three. I taste a bit weird, though.
When you married
three.
Drugs. Drugs. Drugs.
Why is there drugs in your tooth?
She's like in a little causeway between the two houses, just swinging a mop and laughing. And the
mom.
And the girl has the saucer eyes. It's pretty great.
Mom,
come on, mom. I guess every town or every area has something called Dead Man's Curve. I know the famous one is in California, mm-hmm. where Jan and Dean actually wrote a song about drag racing on Dead Man's Curve. But in Birmingham, Alabama, there's a Dead Man's Curve where an 18-wheeler was toppled over yesterday, and the load went onto the road. It was 40,000 pounds of chicken fat.
Well, there are signs of progress here at Dead Man's Curve, but the road is still unfortunately closed more than 5 hours after this started. 40,000 pounds of chicken fat just spilled all over the road here when an 18-wheeler overturned.
They had to call three bulldozers and Paula Deen to get it cleaned up.
Who is that? The church lady that was giving that report? Play him again.
Like it, didn't it?
Well, aren't you special?
He's only giving one thing. But that is a lot of.
You
having
trouble
fat.
With your machine today?
A little bit.
You're,
yeah,
you're not really covering it that well. I'm just kind of curious. Well, what's going on?
As you know, Mike, my computer passed away.
Yeah, we bought him a new computer yesterday.
Tomorrow, yes. Please. Yes. By the way, Pony, was that a fake picture?
Oh, you mean of his old computer? That was real.
That was real.
It looked
that
like a haunted house.
That was the innards of his old computer?
Yeah. Well, yes. I got to thinking about it, Mike. The thing is that that computer was 11 years old, which means it's probably been running for at least 5 years, right? And all that time, it's just been sucking dust in. So that's probably what killed it.
What do you mean? It's 11 years old, so it's probably been
Because you shut it down sometimes, but you leave it on most of the time, okay. Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway. Right.
How dusty is your house is the question.
Oh, it's horribly dusty. It's really bad,
down
Oscar.
Here, I have an air filter, you know, that I change. You're supposed to change it once every 3 months. I change it once a month.
We
once
should discuss that tomorrow. Of the Jerry's, you know, frankly.
Yeah, tomorrow we will Jerry Lewis's bombshell. By the way, if you haven't heard this, sex scandal of sex scandals
it's
with
90-year-old
women coming out against Jerry. We'll have all the details on that tomorrow, and we'll discuss Rob's computer.
Meanwhile,
as well.
Mike,
you can move on to your next one.
Back,
you're having problems? Honesty is the best policy, Rob. Just tell us what's going on.
We're fine. I just have to play the elements from a different system until the computer is up and running, because you know I've got 8 gigs of music that I need to get put into Which will be today. But anyway, Mike, here's back in Birmingham.
Well, there are signs of progress here at Dead Man's Curve, but the road is still unfortunately closed more than 5 hours after this started. 40,000 pounds of chicken fat just spilled all over the road here when an 18-wheeler overturned.
It's so slippery.
I cannot believe how much chicken fat is spilled all over the road, all right? Things are back to normal at Dead Man's Curve. We're fine with that. Well, aren't you special? Very good.
Okay, let's close with this.
Am I going to get in trouble for that?
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm impersonating
a voice, okay? No. Well, I couldn't believe it when I came around the corner, and there they were, all spilled out all over the road. I brought my God Squad in, and they're fantastic.
Let's close with this, Mike. This is a little girl, almost a toddler, seated at the dinner table with her parents, and she farts. The parents love it, but here's the thing. Upon further listening, this fart sounds like a dirt bike peeling out and driving away.
Okay.
And I think you'll enjoy
that. Is that loud?
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy this. Here we go.
That's coming out of a toddler?
A little girl.
Oh, my God.
So, Mikey, hop on the bike. Let's get out of here.
God bless kids. And Mike, I love kids.
Maybe one That's more it. Time. Come on, let's get out of here.
And to Michael William, thanks for that gift you left me before you got out of the car at school today.
Oh,
I appreciate that. Yeah, he was adorable. But that was definitely, he gets that from his mom.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's
what
all I got.
Say?
That's all
okay,
I got.
Okay, that's it. Sorry about that.
Now leaving sound time.
Yes, we are. Yeah. I was like, Dad, all right, the deal is this. We get to drop off.
Right.
And once we get in the parking lot where you're just waiting till they open the gate to the school, he comes up to the center console and hangs out with me. So about halfway through, he flips over to the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. And then I got the, I said, did you? He said, grin on his face, yes. And then I said, Dad, you're the best. I said, you're the best. And he goes to school and waves. Mm-hmm. And that's all. That's
Meanwhile, it sounds like one of the cycle ninjas from the Righteous Gemstones.
Tomorrow, Jerry Lewis and yes. Rob's computer. That's a show right there,
right
ladies
there.
And gentlemen. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
The mainstream media has legitimized extraterrestrial life and is basically saying we are being visited, something is going on.